edition of the Contractor's Secret Weapon weekly podcast with your hosts, Dave Negri. This program is dedicated to helping contractors, remodelers, painters, roofers, roof cleaners, and business owners in the construction industry gain an unfair advantage over the competition. This program supplies you with information that the competition doesn't even know exists. This session brought to you by ContractorsSecretWeapon.com.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Negri with Contractor Secret Weapon, and today I have a fun guest, Brianna Cavanaugh, and the name of her website is blistermoney.com. And Brianna does some really fun stuff. Her personal mission is to end financial strife in the world, starting here in the United States. She has a vision of financial peace and social change that flows from that, and her work is based deeply on loving yourself and having compassion for yourself first, and then doing right by yourself, your partner, your family, community, and the world. She works to end entrepreneurial isolation and is committed to helping people get money out of their way so that they can live their passion and make their world a better place. And today, we're going to talk to how to and the financial feast or famine cycle in your business. So, Brianna, thanks so much for being on the show today and being willing to go over this fun topic.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Yeah. I don't know if a lot of people think that it's not fun, but I think that it can be fun, can it?
Money? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just not the famine cycle. So you're going to talk to us today on how to get out of that, aren't you?
Yes. So first let's talk about what it is, right? So a lot of folks who have their own business experience, what I call the financial feast or famine cycle. Some people call it the entrepreneurial roller coaster. And when I talk about it just a second, you'll know exactly what I mean. Hmm. So what happens is a business owner or contractor decides that they really need to work on their business. They want to have more clients. They want to have more money. They're really ready to, you know, up their game and their business. So they make a plan and they put everything on the plan, right? They're like, okay, I'm going to do more marketing and I'm going to do more social media and I'm going to, you know, revise my business plan. And I'm going to, you know, start a new exercise routine as long as I'm at it. And I'm going to, make all my own food and stay in California, right? So I'm going to go paleo and we're going to have a baby this year, right? And and they're super excited, right? That's the beginning. Super, super excited. And then like 3 weeks later, they're, you know, sitting on the couch naked eating Cheetos watching daytime TV, right? Because they're just exhausted because they're trying to do everything. So there's this backlash to try and do everything all at once. And you sort of feel like at the bottom of the cycle, like you need to stage a rebellion or, it just is kind of miserable. But then after a few weeks, you know, you kind of start all over again because then you want to do your marketing. Then you want to get your website together. Then you need to get your accounting done, right? And so then people get hyped up and then they do it for like 3 weeks and then they collapse into a heap. It's a pretty predictable cycle.
I'm laughing because it sounds familiar.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty familiar to most entrepreneurs. And it's an issue that needs to be solved before, as soon as you possibly can solve it, because otherwise you'll take it with you at your next level. You know, if what you're working on is hitting 100K a year, you'll take it with you once you hit 100K, because it's an issue, it's its own issue that needs to be solved. When moving from one stage to another stage. And the upsides are there are ways to stop it, right? But what happens is right now, if you're having this going on, you are worrying about money, right? Usually pretty consistently, but certainly in that moment before you're pushing into the marketing stuff, right? Often isolated business owners are notoriously isolated, right? Spending a lot of time working just by themselves. They often don't feel like they can tell people about their work. They often don't know other business owners. And even when they do, there's a sense of maybe competition. And so they don't share what's going on with them, right?
Yeah.
Often early stage entrepreneurs are trying to do everything, right? They're literally like, they're doing the bookkeeping, they're doing the marketing, they're doing the client service delivery, you know, they're doing all the sales. They're literally trying to do it all. And so it leads to this like scattershot focus with inconsistent results, which is a super bummer. Because if you only focus a little bit on something, there's no way to really get it going. And of course, the other thing that they suffer with is exhaustion, right? Which is how they end up on the couch with the Cheetos and the daytime TV, right? Yeah, because it's exhausting to try to do everything all by themselves. And because of this, their money patterns reflect exactly this. Their money patterns are exactly a reflection of how much marketing and how much sales and how much attention they're willing to put on building the financial part of their business.
Right.
Yeah. And it makes me sad, because what entrepreneurs really want is to get their passion out of the thing that they really want to do, right? I did not get into business, as a person who does accounting, I did not get into business to do marketing. Like, I didn't even know that I was going to be running a business.
Right.
Right. I thought I was just going to go do this independent thing. A year and a half later, I'm like, oh, by the way, I have a business and I have to deal with having a business. Right? And even folks that go into business intending to go into business, they often just don't know all the details because, you know, nobody teaches this stuff. There's no one standing around in high school being like, okay, if you want to be an entrepreneur, here's how it goes. Here's your first marketing class.
No, get a job. That's the only thing. They don't even do a good job at that either, but,
They don't teach anything about getting job skills or, running anything. They hardly teach critical thinking skills. Nobody's teaching, balancing a checkbook unless you're doing super remedial math, right?
Right.
So this is not a thing that gets talked about. And I have started to be pretty bummed about it, actually, because I think our it's just a way that we don't trust our young people. We don't kind of trust the general public, people who are passionate about a thing to go out and have a business doing a thing. And I think that's a bummer.
So how do you get into the flow?
That's a good question. Let me talk about the out of the flow, and then we'll talk about the end of the flow.
Okay.
So this roller coaster is something that happens over and over and over and over and over again, right? And there's this idea, some people talk about it as your comfort zone. But I want to describe it in a different way. There's this this idea that an organism wants to stay the same. It wants to have enough to eat and drink and, basically not die.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is called homeostasis. It's actually a biological process. We actually know quite a bit about it. Humans are very susceptible to it, right? Which is why it's hard to change your patterns. There is actually really good biology and science about why it's hard to change your patterns. I think it's really cool. And it's one of the things I actually work with my clients on, is looking at their patterns, opening up those pieces, trying to figure out what's going on, and then putting in place new patterns and habits and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. But what you have to know is really to just start looking at that homeostasis part and identifying the pattern, identifying that it goes up, that it goes down, and really noticing what causes it to go up and down, right? That's the first thing to really look at. If you want to get out of a pattern, you have to identify the pattern. It's a lot like stopping smoking. You have to acknowledge that you're smoking and that it's a problem for you before you can stop smoking, right? Because if it's not a thing, if you don't care, you're not going to do anything about it. If it's not bugging you, you're not going to change. And usually you only change things that actually meet a certain threshold. They actually push you out of your comfort zone and you are really uncomfortable, and that's when you're willing to take action. And then when you get back in your comfort zone, you're usually not willing to take very much action because it's super familiar. And the reason for that is historically, it has kept you from dying. It's actually a really good, useful thing to not die.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, we all want to not die. But, you know, not dying is really the, like, bare minimum of getting through your day. And that bare minimum is the entrepreneurial roller coaster, is the feast or famine cycle, is that going up and down, right? The more that you can, and we'll talk about solutions in a minute, but the more that you can acknowledge that and figure out the pieces, the triggers that cause you to get into the up and down cycle, the faster you'll be able to stop it. And we'll talk about some general ones, but everybody has their super specific triggers that cause them to go up and down. It's just part of the cycle. We are humans. We are shiny, beautiful unicorns, each and every one of us, delicate snowflakes. Right? So we're not going to be able to solve all of the pieces of this thing in the time that we have together, but
sure,
we're going to give it a shot. Some of the big pieces. So, the thing that I want to actually tell people, and this comes back to my mission, is that entrepreneurs in general and human beings specifically are a treasure and a gift to the world. The truth is that you are the only one of you that this world will ever see. And the gift that you are here to give, the thing that you are here to do, will not happen if you don't do it, right?
Right.
So we need your full power and your full gift in the world. And what I really want people to get is that if they can get through this money block, they can really give their gift in the world, right? And that's what I want. So that's why I'm doing the thing that I'm doing.
Cool.
So the first thing I would have folks do is identify their feast or, you know, take out a piece of paper, write it down, identify what has you go into the feast or famine cycle. And it doesn't have to be everything. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, my motto is progress, not perfection. So write down a couple of things that cause you to go into this financial feast or famine cycle.
I'm sorry. Is there a, I know that each one of us are individuals, but do you find when you're dealing with people that there's some common elements to get some people started?
Yes. So that's a good question. The things that I find is that people wait. So a big thing is exhaustion. So you get super exhausted and then you need to rest for a long time, right? And you rest so long that your money is depleted and then you have to kick your own butt to get back into the sales cycle, right? And if what you did was instead rest very consistently, you know, for example, if you consistently took weekends off and, you know, ate uh-huh. dinner every night and slept at least 8 hours every day, that would be a thing that would keep you from getting super exhausted and having to unexpectedly take time off.
Okay, so here, let me, as an example that I had of years ago, I had a contractor that I worked for.
Mm-hmm.
He would work 80 hours a week.
Yep.
I would sit down and talk with him. I said, listen, you cannot effectively work more than 50 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Without it costing you something,
yep.
whether it be health, whether it be more money, because the extra 30 hours you're putting in, you're doing it wrong, so it has to be fixed.
That's exactly right. It hurts your health.
Yeah.
Or your family, right? If you want to have one of those relationship things, like you are married, for example.
And you have kids.
Right, or you have children that you would like to see. It's pretty problematic to work, 60, 50, 60, 70 hours, 80 hours a week. It's not healthy. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. It's not good for your relationships. And the truth is, if you can get it under control, it will make everything in your life better. But let's not pretend that it is out of your control. The number of hours that folks work is in your control. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a ton of stuff going on. And the truth is that you need to look at what the solutions are. And it's likely that by the time we're in this conversation, you know what the solutions are. You know, contractors know whether they need to raise their rates, whether their margins are too low or right. too high, right? They know this stuff. And the thing that is keeping them stuck is this idea of their comfort zone, that this is the same as it's been, and they don't want to make changes or rock the boat. But the truth is about moving outside of that is you have to be willing to be uncomfortable in order to make big change. And that really is the key. That is the biggest key to making the changes that entrepreneurs, that, you know, business owners of any sort need. And that is just be willing to be uncomfortable and go towards that fear and that uncomfortability. And I know it's become this sort of like cliche that people are talking about, go towards your fear. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's true, right? It's because it's that uncomfortability is a sign that there needs to be change, and that ignoring it does not make it better.
Right? No, for sure. It makes it, I mean, it comes to a point where you get to the point where you get dissatisfied. So now feeling uncomfortable is immaterial because now you're at a dissatisfaction point.
Right. And not just you, right?
Right.
The people who work for you, your family, your partner, your friends, everybody feels the pain. It's, you know, you are the thing that entrepreneurs forget is they have this idea that they're doing it by themselves. But there is no entrepreneur that's made $1 million by themselves. Literally no one, right? They have people that work for them. They have family. They have support. Everybody who's going to make a big jump, you know, $1 million, multi-$1 million businesses, they have staff. They have people that work for them. They have support people. They have friends. They have, you know, massage therapists, whatever it takes, right? But everybody needs support. And your lack of self-care, your lack of taking care of yourself affects everyone around you. And so if you're unable to do it for yourself, do it for your relationship, your children, et cetera. They actually need you. And especially when you're looking at your kids, they model your behavior. So if we want to stop this obsession with what I call the busy Olympics, we have to just stop being busy, right? If what we want is a simpler life and more time with our families, the thing that we need to do is take more time with our families. This is not rocket science, right? We're not talking about, you know, how do we, you know, form the next big thing. We're talking about how do you have enough time to, you know, eat 3 meals and sleep enough and spend time with your kids.
Right. And I would imagine, I mean, I've been through all this before and it's only taken me 60 years to work on it better, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But the busyness is there again, is not work, is it?
The busyness is not work. No, the busyness really has to do with organization and what is in your kind of mind and your heart. And it has to do with how hard we push ourselves.
So let me ask you this, and this is just a thought that I had. Mm-hmm. If you, we all have a tendency to think about that, you know, time is money. And I've thrown that out many, many years ago because money can always be replaced, but time can never be.
That's exactly right.
So I always, when I look at things, I look at the value of the time that I'm putting into it, and is it worth it?
Right. I actually have a little 3x5 card that I pinned to the wall next to my desk that says, is this moving you measurably towards your goals? If not, drop, delegate, or delete this task.
Right.
There's a dude, if you want to look at time management, there's a guy called, what's his name, Dan Kennedy, right?
Uh-huh.
And he wrote the No BS Guide for Entrepreneurs to Time Management.
Right,
or something
time management.
Like that.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah. I think I've got every one of Dan's books.
Yeah. So he has some really interesting ideas about, you know, how he works, and he only talks to a certain number of people, and he, you know, basically super, super, super limits his time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've found a number of things about time that are really important. Like, I only see clients a certain number of days a week, and then I have time to do development and sales and marketing every single week, because otherwise – you know, and time to deal with my money every single week. And if I don't do something about it, it falls by the wayside. So, but a lot of entrepreneurs decide that they're going to try to see clients every single day. And that's how folks get behind, right? Because you need, not only do you need downtime, but you need thinking time, right? You need organizing time. You need time to make sure that everything is going to get done. So if you pack your schedule all day long, every day, with no space for, no wiggle room, is what how I think about it, then you're going to keep running up against these blocks, right? So time is definitely an important piece of this. And as far as the, an even bigger piece of this, I think, I think of it as the first step towards clearing this out, is to tell the truth.
Right? To yourself?
To yourself first.
Yeah.
And then in conversation with other people. So telling the truth can look a couple of different ways, right? If you know that you can't afford to go out to lunch with someone, and you would rather have a picnic or delay or whatever, speaking that is really important. I think entrepreneurs do a lot of interacting with image. And, you know, you might not want to tell your colleague, hey, I can't afford to go out to lunch. But what you don't want to do is go on deading in order to pretend that everything is okay. Because the more pretending you do, let's just put it this way. There's a woman called Brené Brown who's done a bunch of TED Talks. She has done research into things like shame and vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal is that you cannot selectively numb emotions. So if you want to have a joyful, happy life, you have to be willing to feel all the feelings. And I don't mean that you should sit around and complain and bitch and moan about the world. But you do need to be willing to say, to be uncomfortable about your money. Because if you're never uncomfortable about it, if you never look at it, nothing ever changes. Okay.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the other super big one, and in fact, this is one that I think of as being at the, literally, this is the heart of the work that you need to do in order to move the blocks and obstacles out of your way about money. And it comes down to this one phrase, and that is to create trust with yourself. And that might sound really like, theoretical, what does that even mean to create trust with yourself?
That was my next question. So,
yeah. So, you know, that moment when you at night, you're like, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the gym in the morning, or
never had that happen. I usually roll over and think about it some more.
Right. Exactly. So, that moment is a moment where you're asking yourself, you know, you're making an agreement with yourself. Okay, we're going to get up and we're going to do this thing in the morning. You and, you know, your brain, you and your personality, whatever. And in the morning, if you don't get up and go to the Y, what you're doing is you're breaking trust with yourself. Just like if a friend says, hey, I'm going to meet you at the Y. You know, I go to the YMCA. You're going to meet me at the gym. And you don't show, right? They trust you a little bit less. Right. It might not be fatal, right? They might not, you know, start calling you names and, you know, throwing hammers at your face or anything, hopefully. But they will trust you a little bit less. It'll be a little bit harder for them to be in connection with you. And that's what happens with ourselves. If we, and so often we say to ourselves, oh, I'm going to go grocery shopping after work. Oh, I'm going to go pick up those materials. And then something gets in the way. And we don't renegotiate. We just kind of put it off and basically berate ourselves, right? We tell ourselves what terrible people we are for not doing the thing.
Well, that's wrong too, but that's, so we're not holding ourselves accountable.
This just doesn't help, right? It's not going to help us get the thing we want. And if we did that too, you know, if our friend did that, if you called up your friend and said, hey, I'm not going to make it to the gym, and your friend said, I think you're a jerk for not coming and doing this thing, you'd drop your relationship with your friend pretty fast, right? Right? But we do this to ourselves all the time. We're like, oh, you know, you're such a bleep, right? We're not doing that thing. Because in our heads, we're not nearly as nice. as we are with our outlaw voice. Let's be real about that. And so this thing about creating agreements with ourselves and keeping them is at the core of our relationship with money, right? Because it applies everywhere. Money touches everything in our lives. It certainly touches our business.
Yeah.
It touches our relationships, right? It touches our where we live and our cars and our food, everything. So if we're not in what is essentially right relationship with money, if we're not clear about it, if we're not keeping our agreements, it means that we find ourselves out of integrity in all of these other places in our lives. And that's why it's important to deal with your money, so, right? Because you want to be in integrity.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question it's always going around in my mind. Do you feel that most people don't give themselves permission to succeed?
Oh, absolutely.
So how do you get past that? I think that's a key issue. If you have not given yourself permission to succeed, then how can you manage your money in a positive way?
So if you know that you haven't given yourself permission to succeed, then you need to give yourself permission to succeed. Like there's a point at which it's that simple. And if you, for some reason, can't do that for yourself and you need someone to give you that approval, I suggest finding, you know, working with a coach or a therapist to work on that, because that's a self-esteem issue, right? And that can be fixed by creating trust with yourself. One of the, like I said, it is literally at the core of this work, right? Is creating trust with yourself. Because if you really trusted that it was okay to be successful, that it was what you wanted, that you would be happy and well, that nobody's going to, you know, show up suddenly and ask for money. It's not going to make you sick. It's not going to eat up all your time. It's not going to have, you know, all these different, there's a bunch of blocks around money and success. And those are the blocks that keep you from having the success. It's rarely, I mean, permission is one thing, but there's usually something under that permission.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I've spoken several of these, people who are listening often go, oh, right. I'm afraid that it's, you know, that I'm going to work a bunch of hours. And if I'm really successful and I really go for it, I'm going to have to work until I'm sick, or I'm going to, you know, my mom's going to be mad, or my sister's going to be jealous, you know, or I'm going to make money and, you know, people are going to come and ask me for it, and I'll feel obligated to do something I don't want to do. Right. And so they don't, because they have this reason. Right. And if you're really committed to success, if you're really committed to succeeding. So if you really want to succeed, let's back up and talk, you know, speak to your question. If you really want to succeed, the first thing to do is to make a commitment to your success. Right. And that commitment often looks like, there's a phrase that one of my mentors taught me, which is about being unstoppable. And the thing about being unstoppable is there's always something that's going to come up and get in your way. And you have to decide that nothing is going to do that. You're not going to let anything get in the way. And that means, you know, if you're someone who often has a lot of drama and you're often like, well, this is happening, or this family thing, or this other thing, and so I can't follow up on my promises, that's drama, right? If you're not able to commit because you have health stuff, and I can tell you my story about, you know, I spent 10 years being suicidally depressed. If anybody knows about health stuff, and I have hypothyroidism, and I've had adrenal fatigue, and, you know, if anybody knows about overcoming health stuff in order to be able to be successful, I'm certainly that person. And it takes, you know, deciding to do it and then getting everything out of the way. And that might mean you can only work 8 hours a work week or 10 hours a week or whatever it is. But I have come to believe that people can really be successful, but it takes this mindset shift of I'm going to be unstoppable. I am not going to let anything get in my way.
So it goes back to the mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's only two things about money that's going on here. It's either a practical issue, like your systems don't work, or it's a mindset issue, the way that you're thinking about it and your patterns of thought are what's in the way. There isn't anything else. Right.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Thanks. I love this stuff. I especially love the mindset stuff around money. How do we think about it? What's in the way? What's going on? What are your habituated thoughts that keep you from, you know, going after what it is that you really want? And it's, you know, it applies to money, it applies to relationships, you know, it applies to health. Anywhere that you want to make change, you can make change. And it really comes down to mindset.
Then it's all our choice.
No one else's. We have a lot of power about making that happen.
That's awesome.
Once we decide to. But the thing to know is this really is a decision, right? It's a decision and a commitment. And sometimes it's a lot of work.
Well, it's always a lot of work, but there's...
That's not true. So here's the one of the limiting beliefs is it's always going to be a lot of work. That's a lot of work. I can't do it because it's too much work.
Oh, no, I'm not saying... No, I understand what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
But I'm saying no matter what we do is work.
Mm-hmm. Right. You and have to get committed to doing the work to make the change.
Right. And it's, what is that? I can't remember his name, but I bought his book. It was really awesome. The title of the book was You're Broke Because You Want to Be.
I don't know that one.
And one of the takeaways that I got away from the book. I mean, of course, I got lots of them, but he goes, you have to be willing to give up something for something you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you want a new car, you might have to give up pizza every Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's even more simple than that. Sometimes you just have to be willing to give up the money to have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be willing to give up an idea, right? You have to be willing to, if you want a car and you don't have one now and you're committed, you know, and you're unhappy about it, you might have to be, this is a tricky one. You might have to be willing to give up your unhappiness. One of the things that people really, if you want to shift your mindset, you have to be willing to give up your unhappiness and your complaining.
Oh, that's just not fair.
Yeah, I know.
I used to go out and, do you ever see those little thumb sucker lollipops?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my son loves those.
Yeah, I used to give them away to people that complained a lot. Here, take this.
Yeah, it's... one of the things that I have done on my entrepreneurial journey is look around and the folks, and to just move away from the folks that are complaining. I really need to keep focused on the positive, focused on what's important to me and focused on, as Esther Hicks said, feeling good, focused on feeling good.
Yeah. And
when I focus on that, it happens. Right. And to get a little woo on you, I mean, I do live in California, you know, I'm a Bay Area girl. The happiness is and feeling good is the key to manifesting what you want. That's probably a whole other talk.
Yes. I know what you're saying about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the key to having what you want. So somebody said this to me years ago, the key to having what you want is having what you want. I looked at them in total disgust, the first person who said that to me. I was like, you are crazy. But it's true. The key to having what you want is allowing yourself to have what you want.
Yeah.
So if what you want is a lot of downtime, you're going to have to organize. And I say that because that's a thing that I want. I've always wanted and have a lot more now than I've ever had. In order to have that, I had to make time on my calendar to have that thing. And that also meant that I had to, you know, build my business in a way that I have an assistant. I have enough clients. My, you know, marketing stuff is done. I have someone who's doing all of my booking, keeping accounting, and we do regular reporting just like we do for our clients and doing all of these pieces, right? And if it's handled, I totally feel like permission to rest. And these days, even if it's not totally 100% mobile, I give myself permission to rest because it's really important to rest and rejuvenate and feel like you have something to give.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. You have some, this has really been awesome. Just a ton of really enlightening and fun stuff about money.
Yay.
And you have a free book that we're going to put up on our website. It's 7 Money Leaks and How to Stop Them Right Now. So
77 money leaks.
Could I say 7?
You said 7.
All right, 7 plus 70. Money leaks.
Yes.
Stop them right now.
It's great. I've over the last, 11 years of doing this work, I've taken the things that clients have come to me with, and I've put it all into a report.
Awesome.
So that folks can really make some, a bunch of them are super simple too. But they don't even realize that it's happening, and you just go in there and you can one at a time kind of check them off, and there's a bunch of great tips in there. So I love giving that away and helping people, make change just immediately.
Awesome. So Brianna, thanks so much for being with us today and sharing your insight into money and how to get past ourselves.
Thanks for having me. This has been a really good time.
Yeah.
I'm glad to get to connect with you.
Excellent.
Thanks for joining us for another weekly episode of the Contractor's Secret Weapon podcast with Dave Negri. We would love to hear your comments about this episode, so visit us online at www.contractorssecretweapon.com and let us hear your thoughts. If you were listening via iTunes, please leave us a positive review. The more positive reviews we receive, the more other contractors will benefit from this show. Thank you, and see you next time here on the Contractor's Secret Weapon podcast.